about Krishna. What is Krishna? Krishna, what do you think of? Okay, so what? Don't be so abstract. What is his name? His form. What is his form? So beautiful. Peacock feather on his head. His qualities. What qualities? So many 64. Just asking for one. What else? What do you think of? Kala Chandi, so beautiful with his moon-like face. Yeah? His mercy. How is he merciful? How is he very kind to everyone? How is he kind? But what, how is he kind? He's always smiling. Nice. How is he kind?
So he wants us back.
He wants us back. So he sends the spiritual master, he sends the earth, the water, the fire, the air, he sends the shastras. How else is Krishna kind? He fulfills our desires. How else? As a super, huh?
He punishes us.
That's his mercy to rectify us. How else is Krishna kind to us?
He maintains
us. How else is Krishna kind? He what?
He takes away
our material facilities. Yeah. He gives us knowledge in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. He gives us the intelligence. So many ways Krishna is kind. He performs it what? Huh? He's a person, and therefore he has qualities. If he was an imperson, he could have no qualities. He couldn't be kind if he was impersonal. So many things. So just by seeing something made of earth, we can think Bina Prakriti. And we haven't even gone to water yet. As soon as we think, this is Krishna, this is Krishna's external energy. Energy means this is his power, but it's his. There's nothing actually impersonal. If we have this knowledge, just like when there's so many shoes outside, so when we see so many shoes we're walking by, we just want to kick them out of the way. But if I see my beloved son's shoes, then immediately my heart will melt. Someone else with no knowledge of that boy and who those shoes belong to, he would just see shoes impersonally. So if you have knowledge, there's no question of impersonalism, and when there is knowledge, there can be love, there can be affection. That is the glory of knowledge. And this knowledge that we're hearing is not like the knowledge, again, that we have to transcend. This is the knowledge that about Krishna. That is great knowledge. It's the most wonderful knowledge, and we want that knowledge. We read in the Krishna book, or Nectar of Devotion, it's actually from the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, how the gopis, they're sitting and talking about Krishna. Did you see Krishna? He had his hand, his left hand on it, and like that, he was just sitting like that. Just information about what Krishna is doing, who is he? He has a peacock on a feather, and he's playing his flute, and he has the minerals of Vrindavan rubbed on his body. And he has his stick and rope. This is transcendental knowledge. So Bhumiya, this is just by seeing the earth, the water, smelling the incense, water, taste, etc. Fire, air, ether, and then the mind. And then intelligence and false ego even. These are all Krishna's energies. And practically speaking, these eight comprise the entire material world. And they are actually divided up into 24 in this way. There's the sense objects. There's five gross elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then each of those have their sense objects. Smell, taste, form, touch, and sound. And then there's mind intelligence, that's 12. And then there's false ego, and false ego is the cause of the 10 knowledge acquiring senses and the 10 working senses, that's 23. Then there's the Mahatattva, and that's 28, 24. The Mahatattva, that's the 24 elements that will be delineated there. So this is Vina Prakriti. When we think how this is Vina Prakriti, Vina Prakriti, what does Vina mean? Right. Separated. It is separated from Krishna. What does that mean? That means that Krishna, it's Krishna's energy and he started it. He gets it moving, and then once it's moving, he doesn't have to deal with it anymore practically. In that sense, Prakriti is independent of Krishna. It's not that Krishna is working all day long thinking about moving the material elements around and making sure that each blade of grass moves correctly. That is not Krishna's business at all. His business is to enjoy. But he does all this through his Bina Prakriti. So that, if we see any gross element or any subtle element, we think of Krishna. This is the art of Madhgatena Antarapana. Then in text 5, also a very important verse, Aparyayam itasthanam prakritim virime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yeyedam daryate jagat. Beside these, what does these refer to?
Separated energy.
Yes. Beside the separated energy that we just talked about, there's another, Aparyayam idam tvanyam. There is another energy, different from this Bina Prakriti, different from this Maya Shakti, and is this is actually called Chetragya, the knower of the field, or the consciousness, or the living entity. So beside these, O mighty Om Dachun, there is another, superior energy of mind. This is also Chetra Gya Kyateta Para. It is also superior energy. But it is Tatasta Shakti, marginal. And this Tatasta Shakti is so small that it does not exist independently. But it must take shelter of either the superior energy, the Chit Shakti, the internal energy, or the external energy, the Maya Shakti. This is our nature, the nature of Tatasta Shakti, Jiva Shakti. That we need shelter. We can never be Ishwara. We can never be controller. We have to take shelter. And depending upon what that Jiva Shakti, Tatasta Shakti takes shelter of, he attains that quality. Just like if there is a crystal and we put it near this yellow wall, the crystal will look yellow. And if we put it near the white light, it will look white. And if we put it near the red floor, it will look red. So similarly to Tatasta Shakti, whatever it is in contact with, it takes on that quality. So when the Tatasta Shakti, or the Jiva soul, is in contact with the Maya Shakti, this material body, even though we are not the material body, even though we have no connection with the material body except illusion, still we have to suffer all the pains and pleasures of material life due to the fact of the Ashray, that we are taking shelter of this Maya Shakti. And if we take shelter of the internal energy, which is our goal, then actually we attain all the qualities of the internal energy, which are actually our qualities, because we are Parashakti. So this is our goal, and this is the process. And this knowledge doesn't have... Previously we're hearing so much knowledge that was mixed with karma, and so much knowledge mixed with jnana, but this is pure bhakti. That we should think of Krishna in any way we can. So there is the material energy. Beside these, O mighty Om Dajun, there is another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material superior energy nature. So when we look around us, what do we see? We see things composed of earth, water, fire, etc. And we see living entities who have taken shelter, generally speaking, of the material energy. And when we see all this, we see that these are just, both of them The Bina Prakriti and the Tatastha Shakti Jiva souls, they are just the energy of Krishna, and they are working under Krishna's control. And therefore, again, whatever we see, wherever we look, with this knowledge, we can see Krishna. And this is the goal. Seeing Krishna means remembering Krishna. And remembering Krishna means that we become purified. There is one saying that if one is in distress and one remembers Krishna, I don't know the Sanskrit for this, then one's distress will go away. And if one remembers Krishna when he is not in distress, he will never become in distress. So this is the secret. When we say Krishna consciousness, we mean focusing our mind on Krishna and acting as Krishna's servant with mind focused on Krishna. So that we just heard, Krishna explains in text 6, all created beings have their source in these two natures. So everything we see, even when we see a desk, we see the hand, even though we see it as just Bina Prakriti, it is a combination of the two Shaktis, the external energy and the Chetra Gya, of the Tatastha Shakti. Because the living entities have molded this earth into a disk. So everywhere we look, if we have this vision, we will just see elements and different Shaktis of Krishna. Because everything has their source and is composed of these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. So Krishna is the cause and he is the destruction of everything in this material world. So we see an old, old, old man. So he is on the verge of destruction. So we think that Krishna is the cause of that. And when we see a newborn child and we go, kuchi kuchi, too, Calcutta was being bombed. Prabhupada was taking prasadam in his room and the bombs started coming. And when Prabhupada told the story, he imitates the sound. I don't remember what it was. So he was hearing this going on and he thought, oh, this is another form of Krishna that is coming. But it is not a very pleasant form. But that's what he said he was thinking. Because these things cause destruction, that means it's the form of Krishna. Everything that we see is in one out of the three states of creation or destruction. So this is going, moving us into other ways to see Krishna that will come up right now. Next verse, another famous verse. Mata parataram nanyat kinchirasti dinandaya mai savam midam protam sutre maniginaiva. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. So when Krishna says there is no truth superior to me, nothing, mata parataram nanyat, there is nothing other than me that is superior to me. He's saying that, just like if I say, there is no one in this room other than me who was born in New York City. Am I right? I think so. Yes. So there is no one other than me. I mean me, it's obvious. I don't mean the unborn, impersonal within me or anything abstract like that. If I'm making a statement about me, I'm talking about me. So direct. So Krishna is saying that there is nothing superior to me, and the rascal Mayavadis interpret this in so many ways. What Krishna really means is not what he says. He says there is nothing superior to me, but they say that Brahman is superior to Krishna. How nonsense! So this verse defeats that. So what the Mayavadis say is what Krishna says is not important, but it's what I say that's important. Mata parataram na anyat kinchirasti dinanjaya. Mahesavamidam protam sutre maniganava. So everything rests on me. There is no truth superior to me. That means Krishna, Him. There is, everything rests on Him. Ultimately, He is Sarvakaranakaranam. So we can trace every single thing back to Him and thereby always think of Him. We hear the sound. Just listen for a second. What sounds do we hear? Just listen. Just listen. There's kirtan. What else do you hear? Peacocks? So that sound comes to us through the ether, and that's Krishna. And the parrots, those little green feathery creatures who are always squawking, they're a combination of the material and spiritual energy. And the sound is coming to us through ether, and they're sitting on a tree, which is earth. And the tree is also, maybe out there there are so many old trees. So they're in this state close to destruction, and there are new trees and young parrots and old parrots. So only we can see Krishna. And if we can't think of all these different intricate ways to see Krishna, we can understand Mata Parataram Na Anyakinchina Mai Savamidam Pratam Sutra Mani, that everything is resting on Krishna as pearls are strung on a thread. Now what does this example mean? It means that although, just like we look at neck beads, when we see the neck beads, we see the tulsi, but we don't see the thread. But that thread is there, otherwise the necklace wouldn't be, the mala wouldn't be holding together. So although we can't see it, we know it's there. So similarly, although we may not be able to see Krishna, but we know that everything is resting on Him and He's holding everything together. So even if we can't see Krishna, we should know through our intelligence based on Shastra that Krishna is the source of everything and holding everything together. How wonderful. So Krishna is saying here in this verse that He is holding everything together. That means He's maintaining everything. So in the previous verse it talked about He's the creation and destruction of everything, and here He's the maintainer. So everything we see is either being maintained, created, or destroyed. So we can think of Krishna. Now more ways to think of Krishna. Now that ends one section of ways. Now a second section, that He is, Krishna is the cause and the essence. And some of the same things that we could see Krishna, the same object, we could see Krishna in the ways we just mentioned. There's His other ways we can also see Krishna. Prabhupada used to quote this verse, Rasoham apsukanteya a lot, because Krishna says that I am the taste of water. So when we drink, we have a thirst and we drink water, we feel our thirst is quenched. And being very, very thirsty is very, very difficult. And water quenches our thirst. And that taste that quenches our thirst is Krishna. And Prabhupada even said that a drunkard, not that you should try to do that, this, but a drunkard who is drinking wine can gradually become Krishna conscious. We have a different process for becoming Krishna conscious, not this one. But by thinking, that taste that I like so much, that rasa, that taste, is Krishna. And gradually, just by the process of thinking about Krishna, he'll gradually lose his nonsense habit. Prabhasmi Sakhi Suraya, that I am the light of the sun and the moon. So we're completely dependent on the sunlight and the moonlight, otherwise we can't see anything. And even electricity ultimately comes from fossil fuels or from the sunlight directly or indirectly. Everything comes from the potency of the sun like that and the moon. Pranava Sava Vedeshu. So in our life, we must drink We are dependent on the sunlight and the moonlight. If we're performing Vedic rituals, Om Pranavasava Vedesho, I am that Omkar, the Pranav in the Vedas, which is the most important sound vibration, Sabdake Purusham Rishu. That even the voice of mind that you are hearing right now, that is being carried, that sound vibration is being carried by ether again. So these things are not abstract, they are not intellectual. Everyone drinks water, everyone takes use of the sunlight and the moonlight, everyone hears. So we can think of Krishna very easily and become the greatest of yogis. I am the original fragrance of the earth. Krishna said that he is Bhumiya, the earth. And here he's the fragrance within the earth as well. And the fragrance of the earth, it is actually such a wonderful thing. When we usually think of fragrant things, we do not usually think of the earth as the most fragrant of all things. But when you think that if you place, what flower are you most fond of? What flower do you like? What? Rose. So you take a the seed of a rose. Do you like the smell of a rose seed? No, it doesn't smell like anything. But you put that seed in the earth and you add water. And does the water have a wonderful smell? No. So the seed doesn't have a wonderful smell and the water doesn't have a wonderful smell and you don't add anything else. You put it in the earth and then the most fragrant flower comes out, the rose. So where did the fragrance come from? Not from the water and not from the seed. It actually came from the earth. So not only does the earth contain the fragrance of the rose, but it contains the fragrance of the gardenia, the chameli, the bale, so many malika, malati. So many different fragrances are in the earth. So that when we smell something that's wonderful, sometimes when one walks on the Parikrama Marg, you come to a garden on the other side, and then just suddenly the air just drifts into your nostrils, and it's so sweet and fragrant. And that fragrance is coming from Krishna. And Krishna's his transcendental body is so fragrant. I am the heat and fire. So Krishna's talked about earth, and now fire. That fire which cooks our food, we are dependent on that, and that is Krishna. And I am the life of all that lives. He is the soul, because the soul is his energy. And I am the penance of all aesthetics. When we see an aesthetic, someone who can do incredible austerity, sometimes there's people, aesthetics in the Himalayas, and they can stay out in the cold, and without very much food, and yogis can breathe very infrequently and do incredible things. So the ability to do that, to be an ascetic, that is given by Krishna. That means that even if you're an ascetic, you should never be proud. Even if you have great potencies, you should never be proud, because Krishna gives that, and in 1 second he can just take it away. And Krishna says the same thing in the next verse, O son of Preeta, know that I am the original seed of all existences. So not only does creation come from Krishna, but the seed of creation, Pradhan, comes from Krishna. So everything is either in the seed of creation or maintenance or destruction, and all this comes from Krishna. And he's the intelligence of the intelligence of the intelligent. So someone who has some intelligence, the tendency is to become somewhat proud, thinking that he's better than others. But as soon as Krishna takes away that intelligence, then there is nothing more to be proud of. So it is not ours. Things that can be taken away from us are not ours. So instead of being proud conscious, we should just see Krishna and be Krishna conscious. And in that way we'll be happy. And I'm the prowess of powerful man. So when someone has a... He'll say also later on, that I am the ability in man. So if someone has some power, some shakti, a strong man, the ability to control other people, to make money, or any kind of ability, whether it's musical ability or whatever. You see the monkeys. These monkeys, you ever see the way the monkeys run sometimes? They're on a wall. You ever see the monkeys on the wall when they want to move faster? They sort of bounce. You ever see that? They go boing, boing, boing. You ever see that? Monkey bouncing as he walks. How they do it, I don't know. Boing, boing. So where does that ability to come from? Where does the ability to fly in the sky from the birds? Where does the fish get the ability to... This is all coming from Krishna. And where does the human being get all his amazing ability? This comes from Krishna. So we should not become proud, because in one second, if we're proud, Krishna can take everything. So we should never think, oh, I am so wonderful. We should think, oh, Krishna is so wonderful. I am the prowess of powerful men. I am the strength of the strong. I maintain and make people strong. Devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. Sex life for the procreation of children. O Lord of the Bharatas. So this is how to see Krishna everywhere. Krishna is going to say later, Daiviye Shaguna Mayi Mama Maya Dratya, that very soon he's going to say that actually. Let me just say one more verse. So this is the second way. The second way to see Krishna everywhere, that he's present, his potencies are present, empowering so many of the things that we deal with every single day in this world. And then a third way, know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifest by my energy. So everything in this world is being controlled by the three modes of material nature. And the three modes of material nature are manifestations of Krishna's energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. So Krishna is everywhere, yet he is separate. This is the beginning of the explanation of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. How Krishna is everything and everywhere, yet he is independent and aloof. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they are, on the contrary, are within me. Okay, now, before I ask for any questions, there's one thing that we always ask the students to fill out a response form, a questionnaire about the class. So I'll give these out, and ideally you fill them out right now, but we can't because there's no light. So I would appreciate it if everyone gives them back by tomorrow's class. And much better to do it now though, but we can't. So by tomorrow's class, please give them back. Don't forget. And you don't have to put your name on it if you don't want. Tomorrow, we have a test. What are the kind of things that I ask on these tests? Name a few ways of seeing Krishna everywhere, something like that. I tend to get into details, but I tend to stick to important points that we've talked about in all the different lectures. We went over something in the second chapter, we're not our body. We went over all Arjuna's problems and how they led him to surrender. In the third chapter, we discussed so much about the process of elevation through the yoga ladder of karma kanda to karma yoga to nishkam karma yoga. In the end of the third chapter, we also discussed that force which binds us to the material world Kama Esha, Krodha Esha. In the fourth chapter, we discuss how to obtain transcendental knowledge and what is that transcendental knowledge. It's knowledge about Krishna. In the fifth chapter, we briefly describe how one goes from this detached work, knowing that one's not the body, to liberation through the process of focusing one's consciousness on the Supreme. In the sixth chapter, we discussed the process of yoga, which means very much the control of the mind. The control of the mind means focusing the mind on Krishna. And today, we concluded that with the conclusion of the sixth chapter, focusing the mind on Krishna, and different ways that Krishna explains in the seventh chapter to always remember him, which is really the essence of all the rules and regulations. So, I'll ask questions about that. There's quite a few sections that we discuss. But I tend to ask about the important things, not the details. Any questions about the material we covered today? How many of you will be attending the second part of the class? Raise your hand. For the next 2 weeks. We'll basically just continue. We'll start on the ninth chapter, which is very exciting, and move into the tenth chapter. And this way, skipping sections, emphasizing other sections, we'll end up completing all 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, no questions. Yes, one. Oh, yeah, question. Yeah.
Finish the seventh chapter by saying that Krishna is the loop from this material energy.
And also the spiritual energy, not only the material energy, that was also there. But that's the Achintya Shakti. He's there, and yet he's aloof. So we don't say he's aloof only. We see his there-ness. Is being there to help us remember him. We can't, if we see the material world as separate from Krishna, that is not good. It's also illusion. That's what the materialists see. The material world is separate from Krishna. But we see not, we don't see that at all. We see the material world as Krishna's material energy. I'm not sure if I... But this is how you can see him personally. But when you are pure, this is how you can see him personally, just by intelligence. Even though we may not be the most exalted prema bhakti devotees, but this is how we can see him with our intelligence, and by our intelligence we can remember him and thus become purified. And then gradually we'll be able to see him with great love. But you want to see him directly right now? Then you should go to RT. Yeah.
History of Bhagavad Gita is very old, and as this happened in the fourth chapter, Imam Vivasvate, you know. And it's something that in previous ages, like, some people were very pious. And they were following Vedic Varna Ashram principles. And in the seventh chapter, it is such as Manusha Nam Sahasrishi, prestigious as Vishnu Deva.
Just even the there was many sages living in the forest. And they had been performing meditation for many, 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 many years, and then they saw Lord Ramachandra. So I think they were performing meditation for 60,000 years or so. And then only by the mercy of them seeing Lord Ram did they get a benediction to see Krishna. So it is so rare, especially Braja Bhakti, it is so rare to know Krishna in truth Rupa Goswami also describes this Bhava Bhakti as Sudolabha. It is very rare. Because we are here, because I am here, I'm thinking, how could it be rare? Because I am here. But just think of how many people there are in the world, more than 3 billion people. And how many of those 3 billion people are sitting in Vrindavan? It's very rare. And in Kali Yuga, it's even rarer than Manushyanam Sahasrishu. Because Kali Yuga is so simple. We are so lucky, but we don't know how lucky we are. Oh, the light's going off. Good night. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow.